My scripture reading to you today is in 1 Peter 2, starting with verse 4. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, this stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. And to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful words. And Heavenly Father, words of instruction as to the kind of people that we are as we become your people. And Heavenly Father, bless the remainder of this message and let it be to your praise and glory. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And my message to you today is entitled, and I know you may wonder at this title, but the title is, "You of All People." Now, I'll let your imagination just wonder just a little bit about that. But you of all people. And I'd like to go to my text in Deuteronomy 7, 6 and 7. So let's look at that. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all people. I know that this is probably not the first time that you have heard that particular verse read or have read it yourself. But it's interesting that these words seem to imply that God's people don't necessarily come from the mega churches where mainstream Christianity abides. But it says that God's people can have an identifying characteristic of being a few. And it says the fewest of all. So that's something for us to think about. And my message to you is you of all people. And I would like for you to know that The thought behind the title to this is, isn't it a blessing? And isn't it wonderful for you to know that you were so special that God had it planned and had destined for you to be the person that you are and for you to be where you are at this particular point in time? And we could carry that to all kind of extremes. That as you are the people of God and destined to be in His family and with Him for all eternity, that He had destined you for this perhaps before you were even born. Now, that, does that, the thought comes up of being taking away your decision? Did He make the decision for you? Did you still have the right of decision making to say, I agree with this, I don't agree with that? I make a choice for my life to go in a certain direction or it not to go in a certain direction. You know, we could take it all the way to the point of coming to this church. You're not at this church by accident. You see how few there are here today. But somewhere in God's plan for you and in God's destiny for you, the plan was for you to be where you are and for you to be a part of this small church. And not only that, have you ever thought of how it was that you came to be the type of person that you are, to make the decisions that have made you what you are today? Let's even take it, have you ever thought how it is, out of all the people in the world that could have changed things into a different direction, that your spouse chose you and you and he ended up together out of all the millions of people? How did it just happen? June was just a young girl in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, perhaps, or around there with her family. And my brother Dan just happened to be in the service in the Air Force, just happened to be stationed close to where June lived. How is it that they were destined, coming from homes so far apart, how was it that they were destined to see each other? And that it was in their destiny, and I'm sure in God's scheme of things, for them to become husband and wife. And so each one of you could use that same scenario as I could also with my wife, Nathaniel and Peggy, how they were brought together, Tammy and David, and Ricky and Pam. Out of all the millions, how is it that you turned out how you turned out and you are where you are? Do you know how blessed you are that you have your children how God blessed you and your husband to have your children. They could have been born to multitude of other millions of people, like they are. But God chose you to have the children that you have. And as all these children that are here today, Dawson Gage, all of them, isn't it something that you were blessed by God to have the parents that you were? You could have, you know, millions of other parents, but God chose the specific parents for you to be born in a family with a mother and father that you have, out of all the others that could have been, because your mother could have married any number of millions of other males. Your dad could have met and chosen any number of millions of other females. But I say, God blessed you to be where you are and who you are, and born into the family, born into even a church that you are, even though it may seem so insignificant and so small. But I'm saying we are blessed because we are the people of God. God has us in His family. And as long as we make our decisions for Him and we hold on to His hand and we accept Him as our Father God and His Son Yeshua and all the other attachments that goes with eternity, that goes with God's plan for you and your life, then you are always His and He is always yours. You of all people were chosen to be one of the people of God. You of all people were chosen for the truth to be revealed to. How is it that you and I came to be exposed to the beliefs that we have formulated over the years? It could have happened to any number of millions of other people, that they would have received a certain light, the certain specific truth from God that formed all of your belief system. But God chose for you to be revealed the truth. How about, why did God choose you out of all the others to reveal His commandments to, including the emphasis on the fourth one, which almost every other mainstream Christianity church does not accept the full truth of the fourth commandment? But you have been exposed to it. Most of you, all of your life. You've heard it. You know it. It roots in your whole body and mind and heart. And yet think of all the other millions, even Christians, even in mainstream Christianity, that when you speak to them about God's holy Sabbath, it's just absolutely foreign to them. But you of all people were destined by God to be where you're at and to hear what you are hearing. You of all people were given a desire to be obedient to the truth. You not only heard about the commandments and the truths and the Sabbath and the clean and the unclean, and on and on. You not only heard, but God put within you a system that lets you know that this is right. This is the truth. I want this. And I'm going to obey this because I know deep down inside it's true. He gave to you a love for His Word and a love for His laws. And I think everyone knows what I mean when I say a true, deep love of God's Word. You realize how important it is, how powerful it is, and how that it holds all of the answers to all of the questions that would ever come to you, and how you could help others through the wisdom that God gives you and through the Holy Spirit that He bestows on you as you ask Him for it. He gives you His Holy Spirit for that wisdom and discernment, and so that you can help others find their way to Him. There is also a love for what God makes clean and what He declares is unclean. As you are with the Lord God and you abide in Him and He abides in you and your heart and your mind is filled with His truth and His laws and His commandments, then you know right from wrong, good from evil. You know that God sets clean in action, and He sets unclean. And He gives you a love and a desire to obey every one of His laws. He also sets in you a love for His Sabbath, His appointed days. We could say the New Testament word feast, which can also be understood as festivals, means the same. God set apart other yearly holy days for you to remember the things that have happened in the past and certain events. And thinking of one is Passover and how God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt and how He set into being the Passover angel, that as the blood was applied, then the angel would pass over the houses of God's people. But it did not pass over the houses of the ones that did not have the blood applied. And the death angel went into those houses and took the life of the eldest son. And so the same can be said for the animals also. Their life was taken. So we have a love for truth, including the Sabbath and the festivals. And with that comes the knowledge of that special rest that comes with obedience to His Sabbath. This day that we're here today is a weekly Sabbath. The seventh day of each and every week is a Sabbath of the Lord. He intends for you to rest from your labor. He intends for you to treat that day different than you treat all the other days, because He intends for you to reflect on Him. Think of God and all that He does for you. Think of what He's doing for you each day and what He is going to do. Also, you of all people, we're chosen to have the opportunity to decide if you wanted a special power from God that He gives as a gift to each one that would open their heart and mind to Him. And that is the gift of His Holy Spirit. He gives that as a free gift, just like He gives to you salvation. And with this Holy Spirit reception, then you also have the power to let God work in you through the various gifts of His Holy Spirit. You of all people were chosen to hear and to believe that God does heal, and He does for all times and forever. He does work miracles. God heals as you are God's child, and as you call on Him for the needs of you and your loved ones, God hears that. And He heals and He performs miracles. And with that, you of all people have an unusual faith and a belief that through faith, miraculous things happen, and that works go hand in hand with faith. And as I said before, and I'm sure many people don't like to hear this, faith has to be accompanied with works. If it's no change in your life, you don't have the right kind of faith. For you to have the proper faith, then your life has to change. And before you had that faith, if your destiny was in the wrong direction and your works did not change, then your destiny doesn't change neither. If your faith has not changed you as a person, and what you do and what you say and how you react, faith without works is dead. And naturally, faith and works go hand in hand. We must have faith, and we must have works. Let's look at Galatians 3:21. Now I want us to just look at some of these real quick. Galatians 3:21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. And then verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You know, some of these things that we read, some people would take them as being instructions to the Israelites, God's chosen nation, His chosen people. But I tell you that God's sons and God's people have a definition that is given to you in the New Testament. And it has all together to do with your faith in Christ Jesus. You are God's sons through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's look at 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. When someone says to you, are you God's people? Your answer should be, through my faith in his son Yeshua and his shedding his blood on the cross for me and my belief in him, then I am one of God's people. And I am one of Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:29. Let's look at Romans 7 and 12. I'm wanting you to see how you were so blessed and destined to be the person you are and to have all the things that you have, and that really, as you are a child of God and in his family, nothing was coincidental. Nothing just happened. It happened because it was what God had destined for you. Romans 7:12, so then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. The Apostle Paul said that. And a lot of people, as we have heard in our Torah study this morning, a lot of people misunderstand, misquote, misuse Paul's words. But Paul himself is saying, you know, I abide in the ways of old. I believe in the prophets. I do what Moses required. And the law. That's the whole law, including the full Ten Commandments. And the law is holy. The commandment is holy and righteous and good. If we were going to believe what a lot of people say about the Apostle Paul and how he did certain things that nullified or did away with the Ten Commandments or the prophets or God's law or the writings of old, then we know that there is a direct contradiction between any kind of interpretation of Paul's intent in his writing and a verse like this in Romans 7 and 12. Let's also go to James 2 and 17. And some of these verses are just intended to support some of my statements of the law, of the prophets, of faith, of works. And in James 2 and 17, he says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being of itself. And so I say to you, you cannot just have faith. You have to have works. And if you don't have the works, if you don't have the fruit after you have the faith, then it means nothing. Faith without works is dead. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful that God sends to us, that he has a gift to us, and that gift is intended to help us be of service to him and to give us a power from him to do what he would have for us to do. In 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, let's look at that. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God is perfect and He calls us to be perfect. Even though in our own eyes we know we're not perfect. And we know in our own eyes and mind we can't be perfect. But the thing about it is, God is perfect and God is holy and He calls us to be perfect and holy. So we can only conclude from that is that we'll do our best for God. We try to live holy, try to be holy. And so it is not important what we think or what others think of us, but that God thinks and God knows that we are holy. And we are perfect only through Him and only through Yeshua and the blood that He shed for us and our belief in Him. Let's look at Romans 2, 28 and 29. A lot of people want to try to downplay the significance of being a Jew or not being. Romans 2, 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is outward, one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit. You of all people were chosen to hear these words. And to see that it is important that you are a Jew because a Jew is God's chosen people. You are God's chosen people. And He is a Jew who is one inwardly. And that you are as you believe in God and His plan and His Son. And as you have faith in Yeshua and all that He means to us. Let's look at Romans 4, 13 and 16. Romans 4, 13 and 16. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Let's go to 16. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Do you see? It's important that we are a Jew inwardly. And it's important that we are a seed of Abraham and that we realize through faith in Yeshua that we are as an heir of Abraham. I want to mention in regard to the ones in mainstream Christianity that would have you to believe that the Old Testament is just a history book and not to be really believed and studied and used as part of your walk for God and your character. I want you to know that in Matthew 5, starting with verse 17, Yeshua Himself says the words, heaven and earth, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle. Well, and will in likewise be changed or will be done away with from the law. Yeshua is saying he believes in the law, he keeps the law, he requires you to do the same. Also in God's Word, we are made known that the festivals that many today in God's mainstream Christianity do not accept and considers them very foreign. When you mention the word feast, or you mention the word festival, or you mention the name of any of those festivals in regard to being obedient to keeping them. As Leviticus 23 says, you have appointments with God during the year. And those appointments are these holy days to God. And these are festivals to Him for various remembrances, various events that's happened in the past. And these verses let you know that you may not be keeping the festivals now, but when Yeshua comes and after that, and you are in God's kingdom, and if you are part of His plan, then you're going to be keeping these festivals one day, whether you are now or not. Let's look at Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. And I'm closing pretty quickly now. Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. For just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will endure before me, declares the Lord, so your offspring and your name will endure. And it shall be from one new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all mankind will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. The Sabbath that it's speaking of here is the Sabbath that was first established by God the Father Himself and Yeshua His Son in total agreement. And the Sabbath that they set aside as being holy and consecrated is the seventh day of the week. The Sabbath is not the first day of the week. It never has been. It never will be. God does not honor it now. He didn't in the past. The Sabbath is holy. And God requires you to come and worship Him on the Sabbath. And declares to you in the verse I just read to you, and whether you are doing this now or not, one day, if you're a child of God, you will be. You will be coming from Sabbath to Sabbath. And you will be keeping the festivals of God as they are outlined in Leviticus 23. Let's go to Zechariah 14. Starting at verse 16. Zechariah 14, starting at 16. Then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went up against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths. That's talking about the festival of tabernacles, which is the same thing as the using the word booths. Let's go on. And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. If the family of Egypt does not go up or enter, then no rain will fall on them. It will be the plague with which the Lord smites the nations who do not go up to celebrate the festival of booths or tabernacles. Will God's people be celebrating the festivals in the future after Yeshua comes back to this earth? Absolutely. Now why, ask yourself, you of all people, how is it that you were chosen to be one of the few that would hear these words and that would believe and be taught these truths in God's Word? Isn't that something? You of all people were chosen to be one of God's family, God's people. Stand with me in prayer.